Phasing You In, another great song. It's fairly long, I guess, like 4.5 minutes or something, but it doesn't feel that way. So I don't know why I'm commenting on that, but I love it. Great song.
Yeah, really. I always really liked this song when I wrote it.
You done it live much? Did you do it live?
Yeah, we've done it live quite a bit. Ted likes it. We were going to do it for the recent shows, but because Dr. Ted and I got COVID, we weren't able to rehearse, so we needed to rehearse before doing it. But I would call this definitely in my top five lyrics. I really, really love the lyric. Yeah, it's because to me it's sort of it's kind of a little bit menacing and uncertain. One of my favorite lyrics in rock is "Ballad of a Thin Man" by Bob Dylan, because it's just very unsettling. It's a very unsettling, like, you know something is happening, but you don't know what it is. And that's sort of the vibe I was going for in Phasing You In. It's something, it's just like we're not really, what it really is being offered here, what really is going on. It's like not ever really made that clear.
That's so deep, man. That's how you introduced it on Live at the Wireless. You said it's a Kafka-esque dissertation on the vagaries of employment.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I was a lot.
Kafka-esque.
My neurons were running on a higher level back then than they are now. That's a way better description than I've just provided for your listeners here today. But maybe that was one that I'd prepared earlier. Or maybe I hadn't. Maybe I just freeformed it. Probably did freeform it. But, yeah, so that's the Kafka-esque thing, definitely. That's it's our most Kafka-esque song lyrically, I would say, just off the top of my head.
Was it spurred on by you entering the workforce or anything? Were you starting to do
people thought that. I remember seeing some review out of some street press rag saying it was like a song about being on the dole. It was nothing to do with that at all. And I never really entered the workforce. I mean, again, it's just all about imagination. I mean, my memory is I've only ever done one job interview in my life, and that was for a 6-week stint at the Heinz canning factory in Dandenong, which was teed up by Pete Carradus, our old mixer.
Yes.
But that was the only job interview I've ever been to. So, but that doesn't preclude me from sort of imagining things. So,
well, you got it so right with Light and Frothy. How do you? That's such a true and accurate portrayal of, like, flirtatious workplace relationships.
Yeah, I mean, you got that right.
Lifetime of TV and movies and books, I suppose. You pick up on enough of those kind of cliches, I guess. But, yeah, so. But Phasing You In would have been another one where I just came up with the title first and then shaped a song around it. But musically, I really liked it too. It just had a kind of, yeah, it just flows well, and I like the verses. It's just really, yeah, it's a song. It's a really fun song to play too, and it's capo on second fret.
Yeah.
Later on, import.
Welcome back to Foves Are the Best People. I'm your host, John, and returning is co-host, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello, John, and hello all you wonderful, amazing Foves fans, listeners.
Yes. What song are we reviewing today, Michael?
We're getting now on to track 11 of Footage Missing to Phasing You In. Such a wonderful, amazing song.
I 100% agree with you, Michael. But I'm getting the feeling this is a bit of a divisive song amongst the Fatbie community. This and Wendy, I think, are creeping up there as songs that people think are, well, maybe they prefer others. But I've always loved this song, Michael. Have you?
Yeah, big time. This is one of the songs that really stick out. So even though I might say I love Ticket to the Big Time and The Finest Choice and a few songs like that, and I used to like right-wing fags and stuff like that. Nairobi Nights, yeah, that's obviously a good, wonderful, amazing song. But this one, it's really like if I had to choose, I would choose this one up there from one of the best on the album. Obviously, good. Insert Your Life is as well. I might be missing something. One of the girls. But yeah, I know that's not yours. Each to their own. Even that, out of those songs that I said I really love from this album and competing with other really good albums and things, it's a song that I love hearing in a set list. And I just remember a time when it was the early 2000s, so it might have even only been 2003 or something. Maybe it was 2004. And I'm like, I wonder what they're going to play. I wonder what's going to be in their set list. I hope Phasing You In is. I'm looking forward to hearing that. And it was. And when he played it, I'm like, amazing. And it's just, there's just something really good about it. And it just shows each time when I feel like I get a song like this, it just does something for me to go, gosh, they're amazing songwriters still. And they just plonk something out that will just last the end of time and just really does it for me.
Yeah. Now, I've always had a soft spot for this song, Michael. It's sort of like maybe Greek aesthetic on Lazy Highways. Not many people love it, but the people that do love it are like, yeah, that's a deep cut that we really admire. I don't know if it's the subject matter that puts people off, you know, a song about, you know, employment, yuck. But and some others, I think it's just a bit too long, and it is the longest on the album. And it's interesting because considering its length, it doesn't really have too much lyrics on it. Behind the Curtain, we just reviewed The Finest Choice, didn't we, Michael? And I remarked that on that song that, like, it's reasonable length, but like there's a lot of doctor words in it for once. He's not just repeating certain lines twice to make up the verse quota. whereas this one, it's quite long, but lyrically, it's not like densely packed with lyrics, but they're great lyrics.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. Sort of like Good Times Coming, I guess. Like, there's not a lot of much deviation there. Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to talk music or lyrics first? There's a lot going on.
There is. I'll talk about music first. I'll start off just an overview, like the live version. I love it, and I notice, especially towards in the later years when we get to the third verse, Ted always just plays the bass. It's just the bass and drums, like the guitars just stop and gives it that dynamic effect because there's a lot happening with the arpeggiated guitars and there's a lot of melody in the rhythm of the guitars. So it's good when they do that live to give it that dynamic effect. They do it in the studio, but in a different way. But I always also feel it's one of those things that does amboss. It does both. It does the acoustic and full band version lives really well and the studio version. So say sometimes when you hear me talk about a song and I might go, yeah, like I Long Load, I just prefer the live version. Or I might even just say Astronaut Talk and Going for My Blue Belt. It's really good studio, but there's just something live is just a little bit better, but there's still not too much different, but really good raw song. Whereas this one, studio, oh my goodness, probably like Insert Your Life. It's just got this full body, full natural, nothing for me personally like the, you know, like Hammond keyboards or country sound or tinny guitar sounds. There's nothing like that. It's just so good. And then live, it's just, they deliver it well. They can play this live. Maybe it was at the time when they were doing these songs, their age or the tenure in a band doing this type of thing of writing new songs and performing it live, they just got it. Whereas I feel they did say when they got to Driveway Heart Attack, and they mentioned this, there's such, like Ted's going, oh, John, there's a lot of good songs on there, but like we're just not going to give it justice live. And that could be different things at that time of their life going on, you know, or they've just put it on a really good production, but they can do both of it really well.
Well, Michael, first of all, thank you for putting some Spanish into the podcast with Ambos.
Oh, yeah, Ambos, sorry.
Bien hecho por incluir algo de español en el podcast. Gracias, señor. While we're talking about live, which I think in Spanish is in vivo, the last time I heard the folks play this in vivo, I think, was at the Art Gallery. Do you remember when they played there and we went backstage? 2018, I think? Yeah.
Yeah, remember it big time.
And exactly like you said, the middle bit where it was just the bass and drums and Coxie, I feel it, or whatever. It was really noticeable. Yeah. And I just loved hearing that come over the speaker. We're going to do Good Time. We're going to do Phasing You In.
And I'll just mention just quickly the Coxie, when he played it live a couple of times acoustically, getting to the third verse and he forgot the words. And because he forgot the words, I'm thinking, I'm forgetting the words too. I'm trying to help him out. How come? How am I forgetting the words to this song? I love this song and I love the whole beginning. I just can't get the third verse. He had to stop the song.
Was that the You Will Be Trained bit or the I Overheard You Say?
Yeah, I Overheard You Say. And there's something about that I Overheard You Say, I feel a bit constrained. That third verse just doesn't, it's beautiful. Like we haven't even got to lyrics yet, but I'm jumping all around the joint. But the first bits are just so clear as. Anyway,
As you say, we'll get into it. But yeah, there's a confusing lyric about pull your neck in or head in the yoke and follow with gratitude, latitude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we can forgive Coxie. It's not maybe the most sharpest redrafted lyric. I suppose we'll talk about music first.
Yeah, continue on with the music. Yeah. So I'll let you have a go now.
I'm probably going to express this a bit inelegantly, but it's a little bit of a regression to old partsy Coxie. It's a little bit, like it's a great song, but it's sort of a bit droney. It's like an indie song, right? It's not like pop or rock. It's more like an indie alternative band type ballad thing. And I reckon Coxie listened to Dance Trip and said, oh, I love how that's sort of shuffling up, like, but it does sound a bit droney and reminds me of the foes of old, or the Coxie of old. And maybe he heard Dance Trip and said, oh, I'd like a bit of that, like with the hammering ons and things. So, Phasing You In. I always thought this was some manner of down tuning, but Coxie reliably informs us not. It's standard tuning with a capo affixed on the second fret. Yes, another song with capo on second. And the secret to this song, or the majesty, or the difficulty is, just know it's relatively straightforward, but how many strings to strike? How droney do you want it? you're going to do O2 on the bottom, E string. And then it's 4-2 on the D string, and then up to the 4 on the G. So open hammer on 2 on the E string, and basically you hit the 4-2 on the D quite quickly after. So how clean do you want it to be? Or do you want to slur it? Now, at some point, Coxie found it difficult to sing and play live. Later on, he'd also encounter that problem with Nothing on the Go, but I think he's worked it out. I suppose it's the hammering on bit at the start. Yeah, not knowing when exactly to come in. Your job will be responsibility. Particularly if there's more syllables when you're doing it. Your job will be responsibility. And then the next bit is an E minor, just imports, exports, just a basic E minor chord. You know, X2-2, imports, exports. You can probably hammer off the second finger. You could even add your pinky on the G string on the 4. Sort of a A5, so XX22. That sort of thing. E minor. You'll earn your money, not for now. We're phasing you in. And the chorus is a C sharp minor, but you bar it, so 2-2-4-4-2-2. And then A5 again. And then E. Not E minor, but E. And sort of take it down to an E7 occasionally. So C sharp minor, A5, E, E7, E, phasing you in, E7, E, C sharp, A5. That was C sharp minor, sorry. Ooh, addictive. You might like to bend the strings a bit. E minor. Hammer off and then A5. E minor, A5, C sharp minor, which is 2-2-4-4-2-2, phasing, A5, E major, E7 major, hammer on and off, and then the really great Sonic Youth light partsy bit Fauves Coxie of old is the sort of similar to the verse 0-2-4-2-4, but then you slide up, so XX5-7, and then put the 5 down one on the A string, and then slide it down a semitone. So you've got XX or open, open, 2-4, then go up to XX open, 5-7, and then X, 5, open, 7. So, D, down the semitone, then the full tone, and then A5, E minor. So 5-7 on the D and G, 5-7, and then you put your 5 down one string, and then you glide it down half, and then glide down a full semitone, so it's X2, X4, and then A5, which is just your two strings on the D and G, and bum, 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 E minor. So music, the verse break, guitar, bass, drums.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the pre-chorus is when the arpeggio bit comes in with the high harmony vocals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's all Coxey? I think maybe it was, but I'm not 100% sure until I hear the isolated tracks. Is Coxey backing himself?
Yeah, I feel so. I think so in this.
The pre-chorus bit has a bit of a lead line. Chorus, I mean, is a bit where it goes imports, exports, that sort of thing. Mm. There's a bit of a lead line in there, which reminded me a bit of middle era go-betweens, middle of the 80s. And phasing you in, like, it's just a lovely droney way he sort of sings it. Phasing you in. It's a perfect word to sing that sort of one note, two note inflection. And yeah. And then the bridge comes. There's some sort of effect on the drums, or there's some drum percussive effect where it's phasing sort of in and out. Yeah, I don't really have a lot to say about the music other than that, Michael. Is the bass doing... Is it just root... anything interesting bass on the recording?
I'm just going to point out the effect, the amazing effect that Ted does just by playing the bass along with Doug's drumming, as Coxey and Doctor stop playing their guitars for dynamic effect in the third verse. Rather than me playing it, you can hear the live version yourself. I think it sounds wonderful and amazing. A little bit different than in the studio, just slightly, but live, we're going to hear the raw stuff. And now I'm just going to play that funny live bit of the third verse where Coxey forgot the lyrics. This was in my backyard, the Zybologist Institute, the first time we had the Foes performing acoustically live, the Doctor and Coxey. On acoustic guitars, they both sound amazing in sync. We'll put a full version up there somewhere in this episode. But just to hear how John and I described, it flows so well, all those lyrics, but this one, it's relevant, it's amazing, it's creative, but it's just quite complicated. It's an easy thing to sort of forget. Even I forgot the lyrics and everyone, so here's a bit of snippet of that just for a bit of fun. When I re-listened to this song last night, Michael, I started to see this song as a little bit, hear me out, as Redman would say, hear me out, a little bit Joy Division. Like, I can imagine if Ian Curtis could sing high radio, la, if he could go falsetto, it sort of reminds me of Ian Curtis. Like, it could be a maybe second album Joy Division song. And the chorus itself, phasing you in, I could also imagine Neil Young going, phasing you in, which I think, maybe I'm reading a lot into it, but that's how I like to hear the song now. Joy Division meets a little bit Go-Betweens, meets a little bit Neil Young. I feel it's so unique. I can't think of any, what it sort of sounds like or imagine anyone else doing. It's an interesting song.
Yeah, I wish more people like it. So if you do like it, please send us in an audio clip. I mean, it's mostly, I think the lyrics are what I really love about the song, but the music is no slouch either.
Oh, the music's just wonderful. I I feel like I don't have the words for it. Like, we've got a podcast talking about the songs and breaking things down, but hopefully just my description of just playing around with what the guitars are doing a little bit here and there and the bass, but it's just, it feels like it's so thick, like it's so heavy, and whatever they're doing, and this is an example of one of what I really love about the Foes when they do songs like this, that I'm not much of a guitarist myself, and I don't have a lot of, well, I do have a lot of bands that are guitar orientated that I'm really favoured a lot, but I just really like their uniqueness and their creativity of the what they're both doing, and it's studio or performing this live, and it just really fills that up really nice. It's not just a doubled, we're playing these rhythms together or just playing a little bit of solo. We're doing all these arpeggios and different things, and it just fits in so well. They're just linked, Doctor and Coxie, especially up to this point, and the rest of the band just, it's just amazing.
Yeah, so in summary, I see this as like a bit partsy, a bit old school Coxie, but in a more accessible way and an addictive way. And a bit droney as well, even though it's, you know, standard tuning, capo on second fret. There's a bit of a droney type element to it, which I think is maybe what puts people off. But as you said, for you and me, it's something that sounds really thick, and it's just such a big, great mood to the song. To accompany the lyrics, of course.
Okay, Foes podcast, Phasing You In episode. Just a couple of additional comments on the song Phasing You In. I think this musical arrangement, you can tell, is very tight. And I know they had Chris Dickey produce this one, and he looks like he enforced some very tight drumming around a click track. But overall, I think it's a great performance. I'll just go quickly through what I'm hearing. Certainly the bass, there's a great riff in the early part of the song, the first half of the verse from Ted there. And then he sort of gets into the pre-chorus and chorus and sticks with the rhythm-first approach. But that really gives it a good driving sound, a good driving bass, which underpins the song. From the drums, once again, I'm a big Dougie fan, and he does a cracking job here. Great work with the hi-hats in the verse, just subtle changes between the first and second part of the verse, and then the switch on to the ride during the chorus. And interestingly, in the middle section, the last chorus, he doesn't use any cymbals, but when he brings the hi-hat in, it really lifts the song. From a guitar perspective, I think Doctor's guitar line in this song is fantastic. It really lifts the chorus, and I've seen some footage of them playing it live, and you can really hear his contribution to the song there. And in terms of the vocals, there's a bit of a double track happening from Coxie in the second part of the verse, which really does give it a bit of power. And then there's a great backing vocal from, I think it's Ted, during the chorus, the Phasing You In part, a very high Phasing You In, which is brilliant. So overall, love this track. Some great playing from the band, as you would expect.
So you want to get to lyrics now, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll just start by saying this is the one song on the album that's sort of talking about a profession. I made a big deal on the previous album that a lot of professions, you know, astronauts, jiu-jitsu instructors, thieves and stuff. Whereas this is the only real song that has it. And it's not talking about an actual profession. It's really abstract. And like, what is this job? What are you expected to do? Because it doesn't talk about what their job is, does it? It's just about how they'll be trained and all this sort of airy-fairy nonsense managerial speak. And it's so like a horror movie or something like that movie in Brazil. What are you doing? What is the actual job? And there were links on Insert Your Life. He talks about the Bureau Census, DNA, forensics on Yo-Yo Craze, matched down at forensics. So there's a few mentions on this album of like the state and the government and all that sort of thing. But your impressions about the lyrics, like did you have any jobs like this? Like, Michael, we're going to get you to teach the year threes and fours, and it'll be a bit of English, a bit of Spanish. You'll have to be a clown summit. Like, your job descriptions, were they very vague or are they very specific?
This is exciting, and it's exciting to revisit this song and these lyrics for the subject of what it's about, what's sort of kind of happening in my life now. I've always loved it. Like, I just love how Coxie's putting a take on something. He's just putting some imagery straight away, 100% imagery. This is my big, massive takes from the lyrics. And I know we go bit by bit, but I'm just going to have to give you a few sort of chunks. So, your job will be responsibility, not now so much, now as later on. So, that makes me laugh because it reminds me, I'll give you an example of one job. Working in the insurance company job. And the reason why I remember it, because I was working at the AMI, AAMI, at the time, I'm pretty sure, because this is 2002, is that right? No. I worked there a couple of years later, but still I would have heard this song performed live. But for some reason, I was working in retail in Myers, at Myers for a day. But I remember maybe because this job became new, was it 2004? So 2 years after this album, but the song was still fresh in my mind, and I'm thought, this was reminding me of Phasing You In because, yeah, we've got a responsibility to take these phone calls and make sure that they've got all the right stuff to insure their car and then moving on to their house. Like, you've got all the rules, you're ticking all the boxes. So that's your responsibility. Your job will be responsibility, not now so much as later on. Because then you go into these other departments where you're in the claims process and you might be deciding who's at fault. Like, well, my car, this is a description. Well, my client says you hit here, so you got to cough up and pay the excess, right? And then there's a manager job, and I remember hearing what they did and the time they had, and then, yeah, they'll earn this. And I'm thinking, gosh, why would I want to do that? What a headache with all the time just to get an extra $5,000 or $10,000 a year. And it makes me laugh even more, the whole imports, exports, that sort of thing. George Costanza, when he told a lie about, because he was sort of cheating on his wife, Marissa Tomei, and he goes, I was talking to my friend who's an importer, exporter, and he had a problem with the importing and the export or something. And then, what does he import and export chips? And Elaine said something different, so she punched him in the face, you bastard. Anyway, so it's those things as well. And not for, you'll earn your money for now, but for now we're phasing you in. Because for an example for this job, you're going into those departments, and they are. They're very, very creative, Amy. Like, we'll get you to do claim, get you to do sales. We'll get you onto claim. So, you're doing something different so you don't feel like you're bored. And then you'll get into choosing the claims. Gosh, I can't even think of the name of it, when you're recovering or you're settling, that sort of thing. And then you'll go into the office where they're assessing and all that sort of stuff, and then you're organising towies and repairers and assessors and all sorts of stuff. So they really are phasing you in to get you in the whole company. I remember even at one stage in 2004 or 5, they were saying, can we have a referee? And they said, no, we don't give out referees because we want you to stay here. I can't believe that. And I remember this girl saying this in our team, and then the next week she was gone, because if she wasn't going to get a referee, how's that job security for her for later on? So you'll be trained. That has been arranged. Relax, my friend, we won't throw you at the deep end. It is so true for that job. They were training you about the types of cars that they insure. If they've got an older car, that goes to Shannon's because it's a vintage. So you're getting trained about the whole thing. But relax, we won't throw you in the deep end. That comes later on. When you learn how sales works, then you learn claims and you get all this training. So they did it pretty well. This is an example of one job going back many moons ago now, because I left in 2010. Gosh, that's a long time ago.
Did you ever get any prank calls that made it to your phone, or they were all screened out?
I remember one. I can't remember how many I did over that whole, 2004 up
seven
until
years, yeah.
Six, 2010.
Six, seven.
That's so 2025. Sorry. That's so last year. In the good thing about AMI, they did phase you in. I remember the long service leave thing would be like 10 years. We're talking at Myers and people trying to get there to get their long service leave. And my nana was like, why? You got to stay at the same job. You won't get your long service leave. And it's like, you're not getting it. Just take a year off, finance yourself, and then go. That's like long service leave. Anyway, AMI decided to let you have your long service leave at 7 years. So they're really trying to be competitive to keep the tenure of people in their company. This is an example of one of many. Who knows what they're like now? I remember they still had a brown hair or a Swedish model, and now they've got an Indian. They're trying to diversify the race of their face of the company. Anyway, it was funny because Yeah, so 7 years because of long service, because it's normally 10, but you could take it out at 5 years. So I took mine out at 5 years to go to India and Nepal for 2 months, like at half pay. So I took advantage of them. They phased me in and I got the benefits, but I eventually moved on. And this is just, I'm sharing that. I hope it makes people laugh with whatever jobs they're similarly involved in. And this is what the song's about. I got phased and I phased myself out.
A public service notice to people, if you work in Victoria and you fall under the Long Service Leave Act 2018, you probably only need 7 years. There are certain industries that place you outside of the Act. For instance, like Sparky's, Panel Beaters, some insurers may fall under the Repair Services Awards of 1977. But yeah, do check. You probably are entitled in Victoria. It's the most generous jurisdiction in Australia. You only need to have 7 years continuous employment with one employer. But prank calls, Michael, did you ever get any people calling up, like going, pretending to the Gogo Mobile? G-O-G-G-O, I like to insure my Gogo Mobile, Amy. Nothing like that.
Oh, gosh, that makes me laugh. That ad was still, I think it had phased out or wasn't as, it was still remembered. Who knows if anyone remembers that now, if they were younger now. There was one, there would have been a few pranks. I don't remember many, but I remember one talking about Justin Bieber. I don't know what this kid was going on about. And I didn't get the joke and I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. And then eventually just got him off because it was a late at night because I ended up doing some part-time work when I was at uni, so I'd do the evening shifts, and that's when you get some bit more weirder people when they're calling up after 8 or 9pm or close to midnight. So,
yeah. Hello, Michael. This is Dave Cullen. I'd like to get some insurance for my...
Just the other thing it speaks to me is that whole one way of earning money. There's many ways to earn money. You have a job. You work for someone. You're phased in because you have to work a certain amount. You have to, like, now I'll casually work, I'll teach primary school, but I'll tell them, oh, which days can you work? No, I can't work Friday. Yeah, I'll do that day. But I still got to be there at 8:30, which is fine. I like the job. And then I leave at 3 or quarter past 3 or 3:30. But I've got to be there at those times and I've got to do, I might have to do what they teach sometimes, but then sometimes I'll, as you hear me on this podcast, I'll go on a tangent and ramble off, which with the students, oh, do you know sloths? Blah, blah, blah. Dogs are an introduced piece. Anyway, I'll tell them and they're interested. So you can do your sort of own thing, but it speaks well to me that the whole laughing, like, however you're earning your money, is it what's worth your time and where's your balance to do the things that we love, like Foob's podcast? So that's a big, massive overview. Over to you,
have
John.
Have you ever told a child, did you know that dogs are the best people, Lucy? Anything like that?
Maybe I might do that. I think next week on Tuesday, there's a good fun little year 3-4 class that I'll have a go with that.
There's
I'll
a law
that.
Against teaching, you know, religion in state schools. State schools are great schools, but not the Foves. You can proselytize about your favorite Melbourne, Victorian band. So, yeah, you've gone over some of the lyrics already, Michael, but yeah, your job will be responsibility. They're making it sound so glamorous, you know, even if you're just a team worker.
Yes.
You know, not now so much, but later on, you know, there's chance for promotion, you know. You can rise through the ranks. This sounds good. Imports, exports, that sort of thing. So that's famously where James Bond worked. His cover was, he works at Imports Exports Limited. That was his sort of civilian cover. So maybe it's a spying job. You'll earn your money, but for now, we're phasing you in. So, oh man, maybe this is only a... I keep thinking real estate agents. Maybe it's like a commission-only job. Sure. Or you have a really small retainer. Yes. And you're going to earn fuck all until you make your first real sales. Phasing you in, phasing you in. You will be trained that has been arranged. You said, yeah, Amy, there was some change to make sure that you didn't get bored and you'd experience life in different departments. Or it could be complete bullshit, you know. You'd just be doing one monotonous thing. Because now you're part of a team, good fellow. And in time, you'll find both ends are shallow. So they've got the metaphor of the pool there. You know, we're not going to make you... Don't worry. On the first day, we're not going to give you like the big account or the big job.
Yes.
But I didn't understand what the metaphor went. So both ends of the pool are shallow. So you're just going to be doing boring, mindless, unimportant work. Like, don't worry. You won't... It's going to be very easy. Or they're saying, like, don't, even an idiot could do the job you're about to do because it's not very deep. Probably works both ways, the lyric. verse, I overheard you say you feel a bit constrained. So it seems like the person has come on board, yeah? They have accepted the job offer, but now they're a bit constrained. So are they feeling they're micromanaged and someone's over their neck, or are they already bored after just a few days? The employer said, of course, you know, that's fair enough. That's a valid point. And this is where the lyrics are a bit confusing, because online it says, if you're prepared to put your head in the yoke and follows, it's with gratitude you take the latitude you'll earn tomorrow. Do you have any better read on what he actually says, or pull your neck in? I don't know really what the lyric is. This is where the third verse, you said Coxie forgot what the lyrics were, and I think for good cause.
And this is a good point. I feel, and I still think he's an amazing songwriter, and that's very good, fair, valid point for a lyricist to write what you write there, and we're getting there, and it's very creative and fits in rhythmically and whatever not. You haven't done anything wrong. But just the flow of the first and second verse, your job will be responsibility, not now so much as later on. You'll be trained, that has been arranged, relax, my friend, we won't throw you. That is just so easy and simple and a pop song, and makes me laugh of that experience that I shared with you, that I'm so glad I'm not doing anything like that anymore. It's not for me. Sure, go for it if it's for you, and maybe you got a good job and you're getting good benefits. Good, awesome. But this one, I overheard you say you feel a bit constrained. That's sort of easy, but as it gets into the third verse, I never knew the words to the third verse. And so when we had that, that was a test. I'm like, actually, I don't know the words to the third verse. I thought I knew this song, but I just know the rest because it's so easy. So it is. So I can't make sense of, you're prepared to put your neck out. Like, obviously, you've really got to, you're part of this now, and we need you to own it and be responsible and
just stick it out. Stick out with it.
We've employed you for this long. Stick it out. The gratitude, you take the latitude. Yeah, like, I guess, be grateful you've got a job. Because, I don't know. So
take the latitude. So maybe if you just, if you stick it out a little bit longer, there is a promotion there maybe, and you'll get more latitude. Mm. So we'll unloose, maybe that's the latitude. Yeah, if you just stick it out a little bit, we won't constrain you as so more, and we'll give you some quasi type promotion, even if in name, you know. Assistant to the regional manager. No, it's assistant regional manager. No, assistant to. And of course, this is all in the middle John Howard years, where they were trying to, you know, downplay unions' role in AWAs, you know, get the unions out of the workplace. And you can profit share, so to speak, with being a, you know, you don't need a union to look after you. You can strike your own good bargain, and you just have to work hard, and you'll be remunerated. So it's that sort of era that we're going to talk about on the next album, when the Fauves get a bit more political, 2004. And that's it, isn't it? Chorus, reach for the dream. We're phasing you in.
That makes me laugh so much. I love Coxie with these lyrics. I can connect to it in my own little way of life experiences. And that's what it's about. This is about living, like, at the time when I mentioned I had that job later, but I had that song 2 years prior, which was fresh in my mind. I'm working to live and have fun, and I've just got all those amazing memories of, like, any year, any decade, and that was just a special one. See the Fauves 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 or 8 or 9 times a year, play in your own band, do the fun things you want to do, go travel, rock climb, cycle, whatever you're doing, and have fun with friends, and it's a great time. And your job's there. Yeah, you're at Amy, and there was... It was just the whole lie. Yeah, we've got to be this face and learn and do the stuff but we're getting the money, and I'm going to take my long service leave at half pay to have time to travel. Or after 3 years, you could take a whole year off. You wouldn't get paid, but you can go back to your same position. So they're really getting you in, you know, like job security. And that worked well for me, because that's when I did my travel trip around Asia and Europe and stuff for about 3 or 4 months, and then came back to the job with a similar position. So they phased me in, and I phased myself out, because then I eventually went part-time there and went to uni and moving on. So I love life, and I love all these experiences that Coxie tries to pretend to be someone else that he's not, because it's just You don't have to be a songwriter lyricist to say your own experiences. You can write about whatever you like. You can pretend to be that going for the blue belt or astronaut, whatever profession, or you can pretend you've had all this experience in being in the workforce when you kind of really haven't, Coxie, and just share it with everyone else and they'll relate to it in their own way because he's the lyricist and he's writing it really well. Thank you so much.
Something you said just triggered my memory. I suppose Hot Nairobi Nights is a profession song about a diplomat, really, because it sounds like they're diplomats in the embassy. So
okay.
I have to rethink that. Coxie just has to talk about professionals. Well, Michael, that's it, unless you've got anything else to say. I think you're going to join us for the next song, yeah? Chaos and Dance?
Yeah, I will. That'll be my final song for this album, and then I'll be on to the new self-titled The Fauves album, and I'm looking forward to Chaos and Dance.
Do you want to say anything about what Right Wing Fags now? Is it just overplayed a little bit? It's a great song, but there's just not a lot to say about it, or...
Sure. I really do like the song, and I love the whole he plays... Just the whole guitar and the band joins in later. I've always, for some reason, I really loved it and I liked it. I have no issues with the lyrics or overthink it too much politically, a relationship with different political sides that actually affect the relationship, friendship or something. But yeah, I think it's just overplayed for me. And I find it really weird a couple of times when they played it live, that the full band just went in. They didn't have the whole verse and chorus on his own because it's just like this will be a bit too much. So yeah, it's just I think sometimes you have songs that you like when the album comes out and you might straight away there's some songs you just don't like and you can never get into them, but the rest you like, and then after a while time goes on you get into the next album, the album after that, you hear these brilliant songs, and if you have to choose, look, guys, you played that live a lot. I'd like to hear something else now because you've got all this other amazing material. But I do understand, guys, the Fauves, there's a lot to learn and you got lives, and it's easy to just pull out, give up your day job on Nairobi Nights because it's an easy song to play. So let's get a set list together, and who knows what time they have in the years now to rehearse. So I guess overplayed.
Maybe you just don't like last songs, Michael. Because I always bag you about that time we were driving down Spencer Street and Out On Your Own came on the radio and you're like, oh, what's this song? I'm like, what do you mean, what is this song?
I go, wow, that's amazing. And you're like, you could never get past this song, a nervous flat or something. And I went, you know what, I'm going to have to listen to that song now. I'm going to have to go back to the songs I cut off, especially on the self-titled album, because there's a lot I'm not going to be on. I'll have a re-listen and maybe I might change my mind if you let me back in. We'll see.
All right. Many thanks for joining us, Michael, on a podcast where we talk exclusively about the Fauves.
Responsibility.
Welcome back to Foves Are the Best People. I'm your H&R rep, John, and I have two interns with me on today's episode. The first candidate to being phased in all the way from Sydney, we have Blair McQuaid. Hello, Blair.
Hello, John.
And half an hour behind the east of Australia, we have the good Vanderborgian from South Australia, Jared. Hello, Jared.
Hey, hi, John. How you going?
Very good. Jared, what song are we reviewing today?
We are doing Phasing You In.
Phasing You In. What do you think of this song, Broad Brush Blair? Good song, bad song, mediocre song?
Oh, yes. This is probably my favourite off the Footage Missing album. I'm a big fan of this one.
Me too. Yeah. And you, Jared?
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. I do like this song. I'm not sure if I'd put it up there with my favourites on the album, but yeah, no, it's definitely a good listen.
Maybe I'll start with you, Blair. Just apropos of nothing, have you seen any good live music recently or any new bands or your own bands that you want to shout out? What's on your radar musically in Sydney?
Yeah, good question. There's a what's his name? Kevin Woody, I think it is. He's a singer-songwriter. He's just put out an album, which they've got on 2SER up here as the feature album for the week. I wish I could remember the name quickly off the top of my head. There's a great track on it called 100,000. He's very good if you like that kind of Americana, alt country sort of stuff. I will shout out for my own band. We've just been doing some studio work, so we're hoping to put some new music out probably around August, September this year. That's The Stormy Sea.
Fantastic. Everyone check out The Stormy Sea. I happen to hear that, what's it called again? 2SCR, the radio station. David Marr on the ABC, they've lost funding from, is it Macquarie Bank or something? And now they're...
So it's funded, yeah, it's a good question. It's such a great station, probably the Sydney equivalent of your 2RRR. But it's funded by UTS and Macquarie Uni. And I think the university business model is somewhat challenged at the moment, and Macquarie have pulled their funding out, which is half of the funding. So that's meant they're at an existential crisis. So if anyone can help out there, that'd be awesome because it's a great station.
Indeed. Please get your checkbooks out, listeners, if you are of good means. And Jared, anything you want to point out? Have you been to the Theberton, whatever it's called, or the Wheat Chief recently?
Theberton Theatre, or the Thebby, as we call it. I do have a show at the Governor Hindmarsh, which is a pretty popular live music venue here in Adelaide. Got the Super Jesus coming up in a few weeks.
And they're from Adelaide, aren't they?
Yeah, they are originally from Adelaide, that's right. So it's going to be really good to see them. I haven't seen them for a very long time. I can't even quite recall when it might have been. But we'll also, my wife and I will be taking our two young daughters for their first proper gig to go to see Super Jesus, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Nice. When I was a teenager, I always thought the bass player from Super Jesus, I always thought he looked a little bit like Anthony LaPaglia, who was also from Adelaide. But yeah, that's just my warped brain.
Have you ever seen them both in the same room at the same time?
Yes. Yes, let's confirm they are different people. Where do you guys want to start with this Open Mazare? Great song. Music, lyrics, or first impressions maybe, Blair?
Let's go first impressions. So I'll go. I think that this one drew me in. So I think I bought this the album when it came out in 2002, and I was struck by the sort of change in sound after Thousand Yard Stare to Footage Missing, more poppy. But this one grabbed me because it's got, I don't know how to describe the sound. I was kind of thinking about maybe Pavement or maybe some of the earlier Foves sort of, Scissors Within, guitar-driven, driving sort of rock sound, which I really like. So that was my first impression. And then secondly was lyrically, it's quite interesting. It's not a song about Coxie, as it were. It's one of those narratives that he's kind of come from wherever he draws them from, and it's got a great atmosphere in the language, the ambiguity of the language and the like. So I think those two things sort of pulled me in at first.
Yeah. And you, Jared, your first sort of impressions of the song?
Yeah, my first impressions. I think as the song begins, it's you know, it's it has more of a relaxed vibe at the start. So I think it's one of those songs that's more of a grower. You know, it doesn't sort of pull you in, I think, immediately. But, you know, if you're attentive enough and stick with it, I think it grows and, you know, it definitely builds. And by, you know, the last chorus and the outro, you know, it's really, you know, picking up. And, yeah, so I think it's definitely the type of song that's a grower. And lyrically, I think it's, yeah, I think it's good lyrically. It's simple enough that you can kind of pick up on a few, you know, somewhat amusing, you know, phrases here and there. So I think that keeps your interest in the song as well.
So it's phrasing you in, not just phasing you in.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I agree with Blair. Like, it does remind me of it sounds like it's partsy. Like, it's got sort of a poppy, it feels like I haven't podcasted in a while. It's got a bit of a poppy Sonic Youthness to it. Like, it's in standard tuning, but it still feels a little bit droney. And I know that puts some people off, but it does remind me of an earlier era type Coxie song.
It reminded me of Long Load a little bit, how it's kind of a little bit simplistic and it just chugs along at its own sort of pace and rhythm, and it kind of just sits in that sort of pocket and goes along. And yeah, Long Load, I thought, kind of did that a little bit similarly.
Yeah. I mean, this is more an indie song, Blair, isn't it, than a rock song, though?
Yeah. This is definitely a sweet spot for me, that indie, but I think you picked it right with the droning sound. I'm assuming it's one of those ones they put the capo on the second fret and then left some strings open as they were strumming it through. Yeah. I'm a sucker for that, and I know Sonic Youth were quite big in that open tuning kind of droney sort of stuff. But I get it; it's a taste thing.
Yeah, I think I've always liked it. It's much like a Greek aesthetic on Lazy Highways. Like, most people think it's a bit of a album track, but I love it. Yeah. Like, it's one of my deep dives off this album that I've always really had a soft spot for. And have always yearned for them to play live. And it's been a while since they've played it, but when they do, it's just a favourite of mine, yeah.
Atmospherically, I'm not sure if you've seen the show Severance, which is a kind of the premise of the show, it's on one of those subscription platforms, but the premise of the show is the people are able to sever their work self from their home self. So when they are at work, they don't remember what they're like at home. And when they're at home, they don't remember work. And going into the office, and it's this completely bland office environment that the people work in. But when they're at home, they don't realize that that's what they do. And when they're at work, they don't remember themselves. But it had that kind of eerie kind of corporate sort of thing sort of comes through as well, just in the vagaries of the lyrics. You know, you will be trained, you know, fit in and you'll be right, just follow along. Yeah,
I was gonna say, I agree that the lyrics do give a sense of unease, I think, in that ambiguity. You know, there's certain, you know, phrases they use that sound maybe positive or, you know, reassuring, but there's like an emptiness there or something that just doesn't sit quite right.
Mm.
Yeah, like phasing you into what? You don't find out. Yeah.
Is it both the process that's creepy and this actual job that's creepy, or is it more the process or the labyrinthine, like, how will I prove myself? What are these metrics? It sounds very subjective. But is it also the implication that the job itself is nefarious? That's how I choose to take it, both.
Yeah, that whole your job will be responsibility and imports, exports, you know, these are vague terms that, you know, what am I actually supposed to be doing? You don't know. But just come along. We'll phase you in easily. Yeah, there's a sense of, I don't know what it is.
I hesitate to say few jobs because I don't know enough about other people's jobs to know how that they work. But, like, it's one of those jobs where they make you do the most terrifying thing about the job on your first day at work, right? Like, and I think in a lot of other professions, they ease you into the, like, you know, you get some experience. Like, they don't just put you in a Formula One racing car and go, do a couple of laps, see how fast you can go. Like, you know, there is a process to get to that point. And I think that with comedy, on the very first day you do it, you're doing the job. You know, you go out there and if it's 5 minutes, you know, it's just you with your ideas and an audience and trying to connect.
What do you want to do, guys? Lyrics or music?
I guess we're into lyrics. Yeah.
We're sort of talking about those a little bit, so we'll look at them a bit closer.
It's always me that leads people through. Does anyone want to lead them out? Your job will be so on. Has anyone got them in front of you?
I've got them in front of me. Yeah. So I'll talk them. I won't sing them. But that's your job will be responsibility, not so much now as later on. Again, what am I doing now? Imports, exports, that sort of thing. You'll earn your money, but for now we're phasing you in.
Imports, exports. Drugs? Is that what we're thinking or something? Who knows?
Well, I made me think of one particular thing. I'm not sure if either of you thought of it either. Is perhaps a Seinfeld reference?
That's it. I was trying to figure out where it came from.
Yes, that's what George Costanza, his fictional company Vandalay Industries, has a variety of different things that it supposedly does, and one of them is, you know, imports, exports, that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, this will be correct. The second reference, won't it? You, Blair, you were on the episode, don't give me the It's Not You, It's Me. So there's a few.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to do a deep dive on the Seinfeld episodes.
And to go with Doctor's Choo Choo Choose You as well. There's a lot of Channel 10 references.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Or even watching Sale of the Century, which is on, is it Ocean Hearted?
Yes, that's right. Channel 9. Then we've got the chorus, yeah? Phasing you in.
Phasing. Verse 2, you will be trained. That has been arranged. Relax, friends. We won't throw you in at the deep end. Because you're now part of a team, good fellow, and in time you'll find both ends are shallow. I think that both ends are shallow line is brilliant in terms of the... It could be a reference to the whole corporate thing, but in context of the verse, he's saying, oh, don't worry, it'll all be okay. It's going to be fine. We'll look after you. Again, the vagaries, but the cleverness. Yeah. So go, Jared.
Yeah. When I heard that, that made me think, you know, why is there a need for this reassurance? You know, is there something already been said to, you know, that then requires for, you know, them to say, you know, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. You know, we'll train you. And it just seems like, you know, why would there be a need for that?
It does imply that there's some sort of, you know, they're not going to tell you what we actually do around here sort of thing. Just do what you're told, follow along, it'll all be okay. But there's actually some greater scheme going on that you're not going to be aware of.
Do you reckon this song is obliquely about, this song is for Ted? You know, you've joined the Foves bandwagon and we can't really explain what we do. We can't really explain why we're still going. We can't explain why we actually managed to get a second breath of life with shock. We can't explain why it works, but the Foves just work, Ted. You got to trust it.
That's another, you could look at it like that, yeah.
Promotion, you know, like in time, your job is responsibility. You get promotion, you know, you might be able to write some of your songs. Give us some of your songs, Ted, one day, dangling that carrot in front of you.
Yes, yes.
Maybe they're still thinking about that big break is still just coming around the corner.
Yeah. even though, still the lead single was aborted at birth, yeah. Next, what goes on now?
So it goes into a bit of a instrumental kind of verse, which is a substitute bridge, I'd probably call it. And then it comes back out into the last verse. And this last verse has my favourite line of the song in it. So I overheard you say you feel a bit constrained. That, of course, remains a valid point. But if you're prepared to put your head in the yoke and follow, it's with gratitude you'll take the latitude you've earned tomorrow. That line about, put your head in the yoke and follow is so, just so clever.
That verse, definitely lands with me too, for sure. Just, you know, everything about that is, you know, just feels off. The fact that, you know, there's a complaint about feeling constraint and, you know, sure, that's valid, but. It's just, whatever, but. And then it's, yeah, put your head in the yoke and just follow along.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Is the constrained bit like, I know you're feeling micromanaged and suffocated, or the opposite, we're not giving you any direction, or you probably noticed that what we're doing might be borderline illegal? What's the constraint, micromanaged or just not told anything?
Yeah, it's good. It's an interesting choice of words. Yeah, maybe it's or not being able to do stuff or not be able to, you know.
I took it maybe as only having to follow a certain line or certain processes or only do things, yeah, only one particular way, constrained to only the way in which is going to perpetuate, you know, this culture, which you're, this machine, which you're becoming part of.
Tell me, guys, what is a yoke? Is that a device for something on a farm with an animal, or is it a noose? What's a yoke apart from the egg?
No, it's the back of a business shirt is the yoke, that sort of part when you're ironing it. Sort of, you got the collar, and that bit around the back is called the yoke.
Right.
Okay. That's why I thought it was quite clever.
Yeah, I didn't think that. I thought the yoke was, say, on a working animal, like maybe on a buffalo, the very large leather collar that goes around a buffalo.
Maybe it's both.
The collar. It's the collar, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Mm.
But the allusion is to it being like a noose as well, yeah? That's the sort of subtext.
That's right, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you got to get on board, as it were.
Yeah. I always misheard it as pull your neck in or something like that until I reread the lyrics. I never confidently sang along to this live because I knew I'd always F it up. But, yeah, what about the second bit? It's with gratitude you take the latitude. You should be thankful. And once you're thankful, then we'll give you more space and promotion. I didn't really understand, follow that last bit.
You're right. I went, I'm not quite sure where that was going.
Myself, I thought perhaps.
Gratitude.
With the gratitude, I thought perhaps it would be like, you know, you just suck it up and get on board and do as you're told and perhaps do it with a smile as well.
And then it'll all work out for you.
Well, that's the promise, is that it'll all work out tomorrow, and you the only thing you ever earn is tomorrow, so you actually never get it, because when tomorrow comes, well, if you've earned tomorrow, well, that's the next day anyway, so you're never actually going to get to the point that's being promised.
Subtle Sound of Music reference there. Tomorrow.
Yeah, well, those are the lyrics, aren't they? There's not heaps of them, but, and it's a relatively long song.
It reminds me also a bit of White Collar Crime, of course, of 1,000 Yards There.
Yes, yeah.
Some similarities there, I think.
Whereas that album had a lot of songs that concerned professions. I've belabored this point a lot, but astronauts, karate instructors, what else? Uni professors. Whereas this one's the only real song about employment on the album, and it's about employment rather than a profession. So it's quite unique in that respect.
Yeah. I think there's an economy of words there as well for a sort of open driving song. He's not overworded it, or, you know, you could have ended up with quite a lot of lyrics, but it's been paired to leave space for interpretation, maybe.
Mm.
My name is John, the Foes, Footage Missing, Phasing You In. The previous album and the following album, Footage Missing and Phasing You In. This is the darkest song. Maybe at a time as we hear as listeners, what the band was up to personally and professionally, this is peninsula black. Like, this is dark. This is, and again, like, we're all preaching to the choir here, and there's no one tuned in here. He's like, oh, really? What are the Foes about? I'll listen to a 400-episode podcast. So we've all have our own experiences, their personal experiences with listening to the songs and what they mean. And I really like the song. It's long enough to get ahead of steam up. It's got that real ringing, rocking guitar sound. I really like the way it paces and the phrasing in it. But the theme, the lyrics, I mean, Jiminy Crickets, this is dark. And this is the daytime experience of the character in Nairobi Nights. Like, this isn't a job interview. The character in Nairobi Nights, he's hearing that character is being shouted at this. You know those bars that are, like, you go to a drinking hole and it's got like the bar table. It's like a round circle, but it's almost at chest height and it's got drinks on it, and you're standing in a group of people and it's noisy and it's distracting, and this is the job interview, and this, you're hearing this being shouted at you by another person in the collared shirt across the come on down, mate, yeah, we've got something for you, yeah, like it's not good. Get a call from a, you know, chatting all over, like a Phasing You In jobs aren't advertised. They can be life changing if you accept it. I don't know if Phasing You In jobs, it's the sort of thing like you either walk away from them. It's like there's no gold watch at the end of there's no long service sleeve in those positions. It's dark. This is Black Peninsula.
You guys, have you had any really dodgy introductions to jobs? Have you ever been phased in and it was creepy or took a long time to settle in or anything like that?
I had a interesting onboarding. It was a job for designing electrical plans for new homes. Sounds fairly technical, probably more technical than what it was, but to gauge my technical aptitude for the job, I was asked to tune in the channels on the showroom TV. And I just thought that was it was back when there was free-to-air channels, and I just thought, is this all you could come up with? You know, I'm meant to be designing electrical plans, and you just want me to tune in your showroom TV for you? So that was an interesting experience.
Were you in the job long? Did you pass the test?
I passed the test. I was in that job for a while, but funnily enough, I didn't have to tune in a single other TV after that.
Yeah, that's great. I went for a job interview at a medical devices company. I won't name them, but they had a reputation as, you know, a great place to work. And I went to the interview, and if you go to a job interview, you sit in reception. And I knew immediately while I was sitting on the couch at the front that I just didn't like it and I wasn't going to fit in. But the interview, you go up in a lift and it's an office, but the first thing you come to is a meeting room, which is decked out like an operating theatre, which is with all the kind of devices that they had in the theatre. And I went through the interview, and at the end I said, so this place has reportedly got a great culture. Why is that so? And the guy, no word of a lie, said, it's a bit like a cult here. He said, it's a bit like a medieval village. You'll come in and you quickly have to prove your worth. And if you don't prove your worth, you'll get ostracized. And, and you'll quickly work out that you don't fit in and you'll leave, or you'll be asked to leave. And I was sitting there going, I don't think I'll be coming back. This is too weird. Yeah. There's a vibe. Anyway, some people must have liked it, but it wasn't for me.
If that guy had turned to you and said, Blair, why don't I show you around the compound? Would you have gone, that's the code word. I know, I'll get on here.
Got any Kool-Aid around here?
Very good. Everyone check out the big rethink. Inside to good times coming. I haven't really encountered anything like labyrinthine or Kafkaesque, as Coxie called it. I do remember my first, like, pearls of wisdom that people give you. You know what I mean? Apropos of nothing, Hungry Jack's Campbell. I always remember my team leader or manager, whatever. She was just sitting there, like, at a lull. There was no service or whatever, 6 o'clock on a Saturday night or something. And she's just looking with a pen, twirling, really thinking. She goes, you know, when the sun goes down, people come in. And she, like, tapped her pen like she was really happy at that observation, that truism. And then she's like, really, anyway.
Very deep.
Great line. Can borrow that.
Yeah,
I was going to just close that out. I had a boss once and he had his three rules of business, and they were rule one, trust no one. Rule two, be nice in business. And rule three, always follow up. Strange.
Probably would work.
Yeah.
Do you want to go forward to music? Anyone go?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, I'll open the field to you, Jared. Are there any Fove songs musically this reminds you of? Or?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, you know, it reminds me of Long Load in a way. Not maybe in terms of the tone of the guitars, because obviously this hasn't got the palm muted distortion, chugginess of Long Load, but it kind of just seems to just sit at a certain pace, and you know, it kind of just chugs along at that certain pace. You know, it doesn't, you know, sort of explode anywhere, even into the chorus or so it just reminded me of the of Long Load in the way that it just progresses along, and it's only towards the end that it gets a little more raucous, maybe, but still of the same as what it had been doing, you know, throughout the rest of the song. So it's just sort of the way it, you know, the sound sort of progresses and travels just reminded me a bit of Long Load in that way. But yeah, there's definitely not the, hasn't got a lot of the distortion. There's just a bit of, reverb, or maybe a slight bit of crunchiness on the rhythm, and so a bit of effect on, you know, these, you know, subtle leady bits that are happening through it, just to keep it interesting. So yeah, it's definitely a bit more of a reserved sound than some of the others.
It's kind of got, similar. It's not got the crunchy guitars, so it's sort of, did remind me more of that period from, you know, inception to just before Drive Through Charisma. I met Jack one night at the University of Canberra. They were playing a gig with Frente, and it was in that period just before Drive Through Charisma came out. So they were sort of, and I think this was when they used to play songs live before they recorded them. So the sound was getting heavier, and I got chatting and I drank their rider for them. He was saying they were, you know, or made comment to the harder sound that they were going after, you know, because at that time, 91, 92, your Nirvanas were starting to come through and everything, you know, was, you know, click on the distortion pedal. So this sort of took me back to that pre-period where I sort of got into them, that kind of Wilding, Ghosting the Road, those styles of songs, but also a bit of Sentimental Motel Journey and those kind of more rolling Coxie-style songs.
Yeah. When I was listening to this yesterday, just for a bit of extra thought, I had a really crazy thought. Does this sound like latter period U2 at all? Could you imagine Bono sort of singing these songs with the microphone sort of looking up, like sort of like Vertigo style, like, called Vertigo. No? I'm reaching there, Jared.
Well, I mean, look, it is quite a simplistic chorus, and, you know, maybe simplistic, you know, poppy chorus, and U2 songs might also be a little simpler for pop purposes as well. So, but I think that you mentioned before about the droniness as well. I think that, yeah, the phasing, you know, does drone on a little bit. I think I like the sound of the verses and the sort of pre-chorus, and the lead up to the chorus, I think, has a lot more sort of oomph to it than it kind of just sort of flops into the drone of the chorus a bit, I think.
We obviously need to address the obvious question. Is there a phase pedal in this song at all? Or is it just, what do you think, Blair? Or is it just some other sort of,
what? There might be in the kind of pedal chain of one of Dr. or Coxie's guitar sort of setups, but I can't hear it directly. In there.
When they had this sort of lead noodling during the third verse about the latitude and everything, that lead guitar sort of made me not think of U2, but think of something mid-level go-betweens or something indie like that, or Echo and the Bunnymen. Did you get that sort of feel? Well, it just sounded a bit 80s indie. These are very generic expressions I'm using here, but yeah.
There was, so in that instrumental verse bit, I sort of got a bit of a Pavement vibe. There's a bit of a solo in there. I don't know if I call it a solo, but there's a lead sort of break after the kind of dropout and it comes back in. Hit me with some bars.
Yeah. It's standard tuning, wow, but still gets that droney sound. Capo's on 2, and you hammer on 0-2 on the low E string, and then sort of on the D string, 4-2, and then 4 on the G above it. And then the next bit's just an E minor, and it's sort of E minor 7, takes it off, maybe adds a 5th on the G string, and then whatever the A is called, where it's just 2 notes. A5, is that what they call it when you tap it? That sort of thing. A minor again. Yeah. Earn your money just from now. A5. And then it's a bar chord F sharp minor, I think, but it's 2-2-4-4. And then back to E major and sort of E7, hammer off. E major, E7. And then the lovely bit, the bridge bit's the same as the verse, 0-2, 0-2, and then 4-2 on the D, and then 4, but then you slide up to 5-7, like that. But a great mix of open strings, and it just has a droney sound. It's really good.
Yeah, I just had a quick strum. I thought we were in C sharp minor, B, F sharp sort of territory, but I hadn't worked out those riffs, so that's quite handy.
I love this song, and unfortunately, it's ending up that it's generally on the preferred others bottom two. Most people are saying this and Wendy. Wendy, I can sort of agree with. Maybe it's a bit too singer-songwriter. Tim Rogers type thing, but this song's amazing, but it seems to be on the bottom of the Fat B community. Yeah.
It's coming in at track 11, so it's tailing the album.
Jared, I think you've given us your faves. Correct me if I'm verballing you, but is it Insert Your Life, what else? I can't remember.
Yeah, Good Times Coming.
Good Times, yeah, perfect. And the third was...
It's a tough choice. I mean, yeah, look, Yo-Yo Crazy is also good.
Yeah. And like me, I think you think one of the girls was a bit weak, or was it Wendy as well?
Yeah, look, I think both Wendy and one of the girls are, probably one of the weak ones on the album. You know, Wendy, like you say, it's needs a little bit more guts to it, I think, you know. And one of the girls, maybe that needs a little bit more melody to it, to you know, a little bit more hookiness.
Yeah. Jared's done the horrible work of picking the worst songs off a really good album. Blair, your turn. Do you want to go with your top three or your bottom two first?
Top three, I'd put this in there, Phasing Wind. I think Insert Your Life's great too. And then it's a line ball between LA, LA 86 and Yo-Yo Craze. Just great tunes, yeah. I revisited this album in sort of preparation, and it is a really strong record all
Hell
up.
Hell yeah.
A couple of those Doctor ones are a bit, so Wendy didn't, it's not bad, but, and there's some nice little hooks in there, but it's probably not one that I'll continually return to. I'm going to be controversial. Right Wing Fags, I get it, I understand, but I just, it's not my thing. I think the connotation of the Ozrock Rated guys got it. Calling a song Right Wing Fags too is in 2026, you wouldn't do it. 2002, you would, because people would understand the Gen X, reference to cigarettes.
Yeah. Well, great. Jared and Blair, many thanks for joining us on the program.
Fantastic.
Thanks for joining us, Jared and Blair.
Thanks, John.
Bye on the Foves. Foves, say Foves. Foves.
Foves.
because one of the things that happens when you have a job is as soon as you walk into the office or you log on to your Teams meeting in the morning or go to the workplace, all of a sudden you start acting a bit weird. You start acting like a wanker, right? Like you start saying things like synergize and circle back and moving forward and touching base. Really, your only option is to become very, very, very good at being a wanker in the workplace. I worked in a marketing job and I did work in the UK for a little while. And there's in the UK, there's this heightened sense of bullshittery, really, in the workplace. And it was the first time that I kind of experienced this thing of sitting in a meeting and everyone in a senior management or middle management position having these phrases that they would use to avoid taking responsibility and to avoid doing any work at all. So they'd say things like, oh, I'll just take that offline, and or, you know, that's more of a Terry Donaldson question. Look, maybe we should check in with marketing on that. Or, you know, it'd be something like, I haven't got the numbers in front of me right now. You know, let's take a deep dive on that later. All of these things that I came to realize were just techniques for delaying and for avoiding responsibility, and also for covering up the fact that you're a little bit mediocre and you don't know what you're doing. And then all of the work filtered down to the junior people, and I was a junior burger, and I thought this is ridiculous.
I used to work in an office, and I miss the excitement. Miss the excitement, waking up every day, I didn't know if I was going to go in and file something or talk. something, or like, file something I just typed. I decided that the worse the job is, the more excited the temporary representative seems to be about it.
Hello, Maria. This is from Judy from TRC Staffing in Glendale. Good morning. I have an incredible opportunity here for you today. $5 an hour, alphanumerical filing in an industrial warehouse. I thought of you first.
I kept expecting it to get worse.
Hello, Maria. This is Judy. Tijuana, Mexico. Loading fruit trucks. You need to be there in a half hour. Corporate dress. Hello, Maria. This is it. I have a feeling. Temp to perm, Thailand. You are sold into prostitution, but there is free parking.
On Triple J's Live of the Wireless, that was called Phasing You In, a
Kafka-esque dissertation on the vagaries of employment, and one that also, I think, throw the fact that I've got a cold into sharp relief during that little quiet bit. Okay, we're going to throw across to the doctor now, who's going to sing a song also off our new album, Footage Missing.
What are we doing? Phasing You In or something? No.
Yeah, we're doing Phasing You In.
And if you forget the words in the third verse this time, we'll remember. We'll have you remember last time, yeah?
Before the law, there stands a god. A man comes from the country, begging admittance to the law. But the god cannot admit him. Can he hope to enter at a later time? That is possible, says the guard. The man tries to peer through the entrance. He had been taught that the law should be accessible to every man. Do not attempt to enter without my permission, says the guard. I am very powerful, yet I am the least of all the guards. From hall to hall, door after door, each guard is more powerful than the last. By the guard's permission, the man sits down by the side of the door, and there he waits. For years, he waits. Everything he has, he gives away in the hope of bribing the guard, who never fails to say to him, I take what you give me, only so that you will not feel that you have left something undone. Keeping his watch during the long years, the man has learned to know even the fleas in the guard's fur collar. And growing childish in old age, he begs the very fleas to persuade the guard to change his mind and allow him to enter. His sight is dimmed, but in the darkness he perceives a radiance streaming immortally from the door of the law. And now, before he dies, all his experience condenses into one question, a question he has never asked. He beckons to the guard. Says the guard, you are insatiable. What is it now? Says the man, every man strives to attain the law. How is it then that in all these years no one else has ever come here seeking admittance? His hearing has failed, so the guard yells into his ear, no one else but you could ever have obtained admittance. No one else could enter this door. This door was intended only for you. And now, I am going to close it. This tale is told during the story called The Trial. It has been said that the logic of this story is the logic of a dream.